Jonah chapter number 2, please. Book of Jonah chapter number 2. If you can find Jonah chapter 1, you can just turn a page, you'll get chapter 2. It's on page 1008. I tell you what, if you can find it before you find Obadiah, you're doing good. I hear pages turning, I'm thinking about sabers rattling. Because it is our saber, it's our sword. Thank God for it. Chapter number 2 of the book of Jonah. Verse number 1 says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Now let me guarantee you something. If you were in a fish's belly and you're still alive, you'd be praying. "And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast catched me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." I've often wondered, why do whales beach themselves? Could it be a reminder to people of what happened to Jonah? Interesting thought. Could it remind us of the judgment that came upon him because he was not going to follow God's will? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. Lord, we pray for the anointing of the Spirit. God, that you might just take control, work in our hearts. And Spirit of God, move upon each of us. Use these lips, this preacher. Oh God, bless, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. One of the most interesting accounts in the Word of God is this account of Jonah. It's about a man who's cast into the sea by the deckhands, swallowed by a whale, transported through a storm under the sea, vomited out on shore, and preaches to a heathen city that repents. Unusual story. Because he put the love of country above God's word, we find him going completely west rather than east across the Mediterranean Sea. Matter of fact, as he was going to get to his destination, he would have had to go through the gates of Gibraltar and up just a little bit of the west side of Spain. And yet God had plans for him, and though he ran, by the way, you can't get far from God. How far he had journeyed, we do not know. But we do know that when the storm came, the sailors feared for their lives because they were too far from a safe haven. Jonah knows that the storm has come from God because he was seeking to flee from his presence. I think Jonah at that time had a very small concept of the magnificent omnipresence of God. But I will say this, to protect the lives of others, he is now willing to sacrifice his life for theirs. And thus they cast him into the sea. A great fish was prepared for him. In the New Testament, the word whale is used. That's interesting because God prepared a certain fish that was large enough to take care of him, and one that did not breathe through gills, but one who goes to the surface and gets oxygen from the top. That's our God. He lands then on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea, and now he has another at least 350 miles to walk. The object of this message is to demonstrate his repentance in the belly of a great fish. Amidst the perils within the whale, Jonah remembers the Lord. He looks back and we find that he knows that his prayer is heard by God. Notice verse 7 once again. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thine holy temple. He's under the seas in a whale's belly, and yet he at that time had confidence that his prayer had reached the holy temple of God. In other words, God heard his prayer. Whether what he says here in the next verse is a part of a prayer or an observance, we don't know. But we notice in verse number 8 that he spoke of lying vanities. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I want to stop and consider just briefly what these words mean, because it's important to the overall understanding of what is taking place here. If you notice there, it says, they that observe lying vanities. We think of observe as one looking upon something, but it has a greater meaning than that here in Scripture. It means to devote or to cling to something regardless of opposing influences. It's more than just look at, it's grabbing a hold of it and hanging on. Jonah clung to the notion that the wickedness of Nineveh had imposed upon Israel meant that they should meet with harsh judgment. The Ninevites were very wicked. They were warlike people, and they had come down and raided Israel, and they had killed and slaughtered people. And listen, Jonah did not like the Ninevites. Can you understand why? I mean, I look at this and I think to myself, this would be like God asking me to go over and minister to ISIS. At first, I'm sure what most of us would think, no, we just want them to die and be obliterated. But by the way, God loves all people. And so we find here, they that observe, they who cling to something with great devotion. And then he uses this term, lying vanities. It's an interesting term, but it simply means anything we make an idol of. What's an idol? It's anything we trust rather than God. Think about it. Anything we trust rather than God. Oh, the number of idols that are around our world. So often we think of an idol as some piece of carved wood, or perhaps that which has been carved out of rock, and something that people bow down to and worship. But I believe idols go another whole direction we don't think about sometimes. We can have the idol of ambition. We can have the idol of pride, wanting it, you know, our way. We can have the idol of strength, thinking that strength is that which is a great thing we seek after, wealth or influence. Men observe them as gods, and they are all lying. They deceive. Their promises fail. One only is faithful who has promised. We have in our day and age people who work out. I'm not against working out. I did read the other day that a lot of relationships don't get along in the gymnasium because they just don't work out together. But in our time, there are those who, they want strength and to have those bulgy muscles and all of that. And yet, what do we find? Somewhere along the line, those things begin to fade away. And what was once muscle can turn into flab. And what was once that which was adorable perhaps by some, it's going to go away. They are lying vanities. Nothing wrong with being strong. Nothing wrong with working out. Please do not misunderstand. But if that is your God, there is a problem. When we turn to the New Testament, we find one who also observed lying vanities. We go to Luke chapter 15. We read the story about the prodigal son. And what was the lying vanity? He believed that if he got the riches of his father now, he would be happy. And so his father granted it to him. He got his inheritance early, and he goes off to a far country. And what happens? He ends up eating the corn husks, fighting with the pigs for him. He saw riches as an avenue to happiness. What was it? A lying vanity. If you and I are going to survive God's blessings, we must develop a discretion that lies are not to be believed and have mercy depart from us. Because it says their lying vanities does what? Forsake their own mercy. And we need to develop a discretion. And I want to share with you just a few thoughts along this line. And I trust that God led me into these thoughts. But first of all, lies may seem credible. They might look very, very good. But oftentimes, it's not the benefit you get from it or that's what you're looking at. It's the attractiveness to the lure. Think of Eve. She was attracted to the fruit. Why? Because it was good to look upon. And to set her up to be seduced by Satan's lie, he says, "Ye shall not surely die." She's looking at this saying, "Hey, this is all right. It's beautiful. It's like the rest of the fruit in the garden." And it allows her to believe the lie of Satan. Do you understand today that most of the advertising world is seeking to make their product look good, whether it is or not? How many have ever watched a beer commercial or a wine commercial where they show a guy laying in the gutter with his head in his own vomit? They don't show that, do they? They show it as young people having a supposed good time. They don't show them the next day with a headache that's 3 miles wide. They don't show what's taken place in their life down through the years and how it's destroyed over and over and over. They make it look good, whether it is or not. How many ever watch cartoons on Saturday morning? If you got little kids, you've probably seen a few of them. All right, Monday night. You ever watch kids' programs? Don't you folks sit here all pious. I know you love the Roadrunner. Beep, beep. I mean, we... And how many have ever rooted for a mouse other than in a cartoon? Normally, you love the cat and hate the mouse, but when that comes on, you love the mouse and hate the cat. But what goes on with these shows is they advertise to children. And I find it simply amazing as they make all these things look so fantastic. I want you to think about it for a moment. I mean, they'll have something for the boys, and it'll be these action figures, and they show them, you know, shooting guns and blowing things up, and man, they're just having a great time. Boys like to blow things up. Yeah. He hasn't grown up yet, and he's the only one willing to admit it. And yet, if you ever really stop and look at that, I mean, guys, you look at, oh, man, that'd be so much fun. It's 10 pieces of plastic that doesn't do anything unless you move it around. You just want to go out in the backyard and pick up some sticks and do the same thing. Be a lot cheaper. And yet what are they doing? They're trying to make it look really good. It's nothing more than cheap plastic that's soon lost or broken. Lies, they seem credible, but their attractiveness is a lure away from reality. Second thought I'd like to give you today will be one that will contradict probably what most of us have thought most of our lives. Following your heart is putting your desires ahead of God. This is idolatry. That's exactly what Jonah did. He didn't want to do what God said. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He was following his heart because his heart was not in Nineveh. But we fail to remember something about our heart. We fail to remember that we are born in sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51:5. Simply stated, we are born with a sin nature. We got some new parents here today. Two or three sets of them. Have you found out yet that dear little darling has got a sin nature? Have you found out they cry when there's no need to? How many parents here who have teenagers ever sat down and gave your teenagers a lesson in being a misbehaved teenager? Well, how do they do it? They're programmed. It's their sin nature. We're all born with it. We don't have to be taught how to do it. We are born with it. That'll tell us something about our heart. Our hearts are full of deception. Matter of fact, Jeremiah, he writes this, "The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked, who can know it?" And yet we will say, well, we need to just follow our heart. That can be a lying vanity. Because our hearts are not directed upon the Lord so often. Jeremiah 14:10 says, "Thus saith the Lord to his people, they have loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them, he will not remember their iniquity." Or he will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. John 3:19 says, "This is condemnation, that light has come to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You and I are born with deceitful, wicked hearts. And we need to be very careful when we start saying, "I'm just going to follow my heart." If I understand Jeremiah right, I can't even know my heart. Years ago, I used to say it. I hope I haven't been saying it lately. But I would say, if I know my heart, there's a big if clause. We don't know the wickedness that lies there. We think somehow we could never do some of the things that some people do, and yet it is within our capability to do so. It's not a matter of following a heart. It's a matter of following the truthfulness of God's Word. And so you and I, we need to be very careful that we don't observe lying vanities, because when we do, we forsake our own mercy. Thirdly, often believe because we offer excuses for our sinful actions. We think it's okay because we come up with some kind of excuse. Some of the excuses I've heard through the years, if you're dealing with somebody about their need for Christ, they say, "Well, I'm not that bad. I haven't robbed any banks. I haven't killed anybody." But my Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah says it this way, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Oh, yes, we are that bad. Oftentimes we give the excuse, well, somebody else is doing it, and they seem to be getting along just fine. That's something very common, young people. You need to be careful of that. You look at somebody and you think, well, they're doing it, and they're doing all right, so it must be okay. No, listen to me. There comes a payday. They fail to understand that God is long-suffering, but there comes a time when the door is shut, when there's no more time for repentance. Well, have you ever heard somebody use the excuse about, you know, coming to church and finding out about God? Well, they're hypocrites in the church. Well, duh. Can we say there's not? No, there are. How many gone to Walmart this week? Well, there's hypocrites there. By the way, Walmart's not going to have these sales on Christmas Day because they want to give both of their cashiers time off. They're everywhere. But what we fail to understand with that excuse is we are blaming somebody else for our actions. It's their fault that we're not going to do it. It's their fault that I'm not going to follow this direction. And we offer excuses, and what are they? Lying vanities that forsake our own mercy. I've heard this many times. I have something else I need to do. In other words, they're saying, I have better things to do. I have better things to do than to come to God. I have better things to do than let God speak to my heart. And thus we allow all sorts of things to get in our way. I'll name a few. Nothing wrong with any of these, but reunions and ball games and having company and TV programs. Are they more important than God? And so often we offer excuses. We've got better things to do. I think that was Jonah. And we use excuses to run from God. But I want you to remember something. There's a whale waiting for you. There's a whale waiting for you. There's a great fish prepared. Because when folks get tired of you and throw you overboard, that fish is ready. Maybe the question then is, will you observe lying vanity still? Or will there be a change in your life? Still got your book open to Jonah? Verse 8, they observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. They that follow after these things, they are not allowing mercy of God to enter in their lives. But notice what it says in verse number 9. It starts with the word but, so things are going to change. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. When you and I have believed lying vanities, if we would, as this verse says, sacrifice our time and our efforts and give it unto the Lord and call out to Him. And say to God, whatever you want, whatever you want. He said, I will pay that I have vowed. Whatever you want, God, I will do. What did God want him to do? Go to Nineveh. Fish landed on the shore. The nearest we can calculate from the eastern shore of the Mediterranean to Nineveh would be 350 miles. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a donkey. I wonder if he even had shoes on his feet. and he had to walk to that city. If he covered 50 miles a day, that was 7 days he walked, he might get to that city. Matter of fact, that town was so big that it took basically 3 days to walk through it. And yet God used him miraculously to speak to those people. He'd observed lying vanities, but God was there with a great fish. And when you will finally give up your lying vanities, those things that have put between you and God what is right, that fish will take you to where you ought to be. Amen. And while you're there, you need to stop and confess. Are you in the whale? Are you still on board ship? God's repaired it. When you get there, cry out to him. Amen. Lying vanities. They're idols. Not that which is made out of wood and stone, but that which we make up in our own hearts. When rather than being all about God, it's all about us. And what's it say? We forsake our own mercy. It's there available. Let's pray. Our sweet Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for this man, Jonah, and what he has shown to us through his life. Lord, we thank you, O God, that you have that great fish prepared. When we come to the end of ourselves, you are there ready to take us back to shore. Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts. Lord, I know in this room today there may be one that doesn't know you as their Savior. If they died, they don't know if they'd go to heaven. They couldn't sing along a while ago as the boys sang. It's not a part of them. But you got a great fish prepared. If they're willing to just jump out of the boat till they call safety and give themselves to you. Lord, we pray that for your people. Oftentimes, we begin to observe lying vanities. And from that shore, we begin to sail just as Jonah, because we've rejected your command to go to Nineveh. God, I pray that you might work in our hearts today. Bring conviction, comfort, illumination, whatever is needed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.